Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Next conversation today is with Phil Weiser. Last night he won the Democratic nomination for Colorado governor. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kyle.
So most candidates will tell you, well, I thought I was going to win all along or whatever else. You were down like 25, 30 points. Like, you were a big underdog at the beginning of this race. So in all seriousness, like, at what point did you think that the race truly was within reach for you and your team?
I will say, people can go back to the first interview I did right when I announced, and they can look at the closing argument I did with you just the other day, and my message stayed pretty much identical. We had a vision of how this campaign would go. We had a message, and we executed on it. Now, that started before I knew Michael Bennett was running. I always believed that voters would get to focus on the race, and Colorado voters voting this primary were going to make an informed decision. And my belief was when they made that informed decision, it was going to be good for us. There's obviously not a ton of polling out there, but some of the polling we've seen, people who knew both me and Michael Bennett were going 2-1 for us. We're starting to look at the areas that we won, Denver, La Plata County. We won certain places clearly and convincingly, in part because I think I got to know the voters there more. So my hypothesis was, if the people of Colorado could get to know me better, I had a chance to win this race. And it wasn't one moment where I'm like, okay, we got it now. Mm-hmm. It was more like this kept building, block after block after block. And that's my biggest message about this campaign. It's hard work. It's putting in the work. And the way we did it is something I'm really proud of because I think it shows what a winning campaign should look like.
So you obviously have a general election ahead, but the fact is Colorado Republicans have elected one governor in the last 55 years, so it's highly likely that you'll be Colorado's next governor. Knowing that, what is your message to all the Democrats who didn't vote for you last night, the unaffiliates who didn't vote for you last night, and the Republicans who couldn't vote for you last night?
Let me start with the Republicans who couldn't vote for me. Matt Scherr, I think I mentioned this at the 9 News debate you moderated, is an Eagle County commissioner, and the way he decided to endorse me over Michael Bennett, he reached out to his Republican county commissioner colleagues and asked them, I know you can't vote in this primary, but you know likely whoever wins is our governor. Who do you want? And they said they want me, Phil Weiser, because what they know about me is my commitment is to showing up everywhere, listening to everyone, and working together. There are people in rural Colorado, I got a text today from someone from Kit Carson, Colorado, who said, I'm really excited to have a governor who's shown up in my community, is listening to me, and is working on my issues. That's my message for Republicans, whether you're rural or urban. I'm going to show up for you. I'm going to listen to you. And for those who voted for Michael Bennett, what I want them to know is we need you. This is a team effort. We got a lot of work to do, and I believe we'll do it as a team.
So Republican primary for governor right now is too close to call. Does it matter who Republicans nominate? I want to ask you this for this reason. You're a Democrat about to run a race against Republican, but do you think Colorado would be better served if it had a more functional and competitive Republican Party?
My background is in antitrust law. I believe in competition. Competition makes us stronger. It's not healthy for any state to have one party who's dominant because another party is dysfunctional. And to that end, if the Republicans aren't putting forward functional Republican candidates, it makes my job harder because I've got to look harder for that counterargument. I think I might have mentioned this at some point to you because it's so top of mind. Roy Romer, honorary chair of our campaign, has this great teaching, all truth is partial. You may think you're seeing the whole truth, but you're kidding yourself. No one sees the whole truth. So I want to make sure I'm in relationship, I'm in dialogue with Republicans. Cleve Simpson, the minority leader in the Senate, is someone I've got deep respect for. I'm going to make a commitment. Now, if the people of Colorado get to see that debate, it's better. But if one party, like the Republican Party right now, is unable to be organized, unable to be funded, obviously, it makes it harder, and I think we're all worse off for that.
You won convincingly last night. Milot Kyros won convincingly last night. You share some views. You disagree on other things. Do you see a through line between the two races?
I want people to think about the following idea, and I have not followed her race closely enough to know how much it maps, but I think it's an idea that's underappreciated. People want to know that you're fighting for them. People want to know they can trust you, that you're authentic, and people want to know that you care about them, that you're in dialogue with them. Putting in the work is something that I've learned from Roy Romer, from Ed Perlmutter, another co-chair of our campaign. And what I'm proud of, how our campaign showed up everywhere. It was an underreported story a lot of the time, but I had a lot of forum invitations where I said, I'll go. And I was there by myself. One in Durango, for example, a place we won convincingly. And Diana DeGette, I know, didn't come to interview with you, for example. I mean, like Heroes did. And I think that matters to people. Like, are you showing up? Do people feel like, okay, you're answering the questions. I see you. I hear you. That's good. If elected officials don't show up, they don't answer the questions, I think it hurts them. I think that's part of what hurt Michael Bennett's campaign, is people thought he wasn't showing up. He thought he might have been just automatic. And my message is nothing's automatic in politics or in life.
One of the criticisms of Milot Kyros is that she's anti-Semitic. And you talk frequently about your family surviving the Nazi Holocaust. I don't have a policy question for you here, just a personal question. Do you have a relationship with her? Are you able to sit down with her and have a conversation about difficult stuff, including Israel-Gaza?
I haven't really gotten to know her yet. I've crossed paths briefly. I will look forward to, like I would with anybody, getting to know them. And I always approach any relationship thinking I can have a conversation. And what I walk the walk in this campaign, which I will walk with everyone from conservative Republicans to Democrats on the far left, is tell me what you're thinking about. Tell me what your values are. One of the examples in this campaign is Cardinal Muslim Votes had a forum. I was invited. Senator Bennett was invited. He didn't show up. I showed up. They asked me questions. I didn't give them all the answers they wanted. But it was clear to me that they felt seen and respected just because I was showing up to listen. And so whoever is out there who's willing to be in dialogue, sign me up.
A number of folks in the Jewish community in Denver have said that they have met with Milot Kyros and they felt like she didn't really listen to their concerns and that they're concerned about the things that she says. To the extent that you're aware of what she has said about Israel, yeah. Do you see anti-Semitism there?
Well, I want to pick up one point because it's personal to me, and I believe she said something about this in your interview. What happened on June 1st in Boulder was an anti-Semitic attack. I knew Karen Diamond. She was a supporter and a friend. I know Lou Diamond, who's now a widow. We cannot look at that murder and say anything else happened than a hate crime. And so if someone isn't going to acknowledge that, I'm concerned about that, because this was tried. This was, now we have a conviction. Our judicial system is set up to make a judgment. And the judgment here was it was a hate crime. And this is a point that you hear it a lot in the context of Black Lives Matter. Now we're talking Jewish Lives Matter. And for a lot of people, this may not have been as clear a conversation, but let me tell you what it means. Black Lives Matter, period. Period. Black Lives Matter. Elijah McClain's life mattered, period. You don't put a comma. Jewish Lives Matter. Karen Diamond's life mattered. You don't put a comma, an and or a but, period. That's the message, and I haven't sat down with her, but when we have a conversation, and if this June 1st attack comes up, that's my view.
Last question for you. A lot of progressives in Colorado are jubilant today. Some of them supported you, some of them didn't support you, some of them won other races, so on and so forth. There are a number of progressives, as well as Republicans, who fear the idea that the store is going to be open now for progressive ideas in Colorado, that Jared Polis was the stopper on that stuff, and now you or Michael Bennett would have just kind of given progressives free rein. What would you say to those progressives and conservatives in Colorado?
Let me start with the conservatives, because I've already said it. I really want to underline this. I'm listening. I'm not making any decision that is excluding people. You often hear this phrase in government. If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And I've heard from folks, take for example our native tribes in Colorado, that a piece of public policy that affects the tribes gets enacted and no one invited them to the table to listen to them. Now, given my feeling about tribes and about how we've treated them historically, for me that's nails on a chalkboard. You can't do that to the tribes. But that's not a feeling I feel just about tribes. I feel that about rural communities. Housing in Kit Carson is different than housing in Denver. If we're making housing policy and it only makes sense in Denver and not in Kit Carson, shame on us. So for Republicans who are concerned, am I at the table? I want to tell you, once you get to know me, what you're going to know is there's a place for you. I'm going to listen to you. And one of the mistakes that happens in politics sometimes is people position these issues as absolute polarities, when a lot of times there's lots of shades of gray, or there are third options that both sides can say, you know what, I could live with that. So I believe in dialogue. Conservatives are at the table. As for progressives, I understand some of your values. And part of what was so frustrating for them with Governor Polis is they felt shut out. They felt like there was no conversation. And so when a progressive says, I'm concerned about an Uber driver engaging in sexual assault, my answer isn't going to be wait to see if I veto the bill. It's going to be, hey, let's talk about it. Let's figure out a solution.
Phil Weiser, thanks for your time. Appreciate it very much. Congratulations again.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.